Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 13th, 2012.
Let's begin our scriptural reading this morning in Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. As most of you, I'm sure, know, or if not, the males in the group are in trouble, but today is Mother's Day. And there is no position or responsibility in life that deserves more honor and recognition than that of motherhood. Think about the influence of motherhood. I don't believe that there's any other position in life, any other responsibility in life, that has a greater influence for good or bad on society. Mothers are our first and most constant teachers. They are our examples day in and day out. That's a pretty big influence on young developing minds and hearts. No other station in life requires a greater amount of toil when it's done right, when it's done according to God's instruction. No greater station in life requires and involves more hardship and sacrifice in order to be successful at it. Mothers are not only responsible for their life, but for their husbands, for their children, as far as the administration of the house is concerned, at least. That's a lot of responsibility. The virtues of motherhood, of course, that God admires, go beyond just bearing children. In fact, it takes more than simply having a child to be a mother in the fullest extent of the title. And so when we talk about honoring motherhood, we need to always look at it in the light of Scripture. There are a number of women in the Bible that God points to as examples of the virtues that He admires, that was His intent for motherhood, and that is a reflection of Himself in those that are the good examples of motherhood and those virtues. And as we consider a few of these examples, may we allow the Holy Spirit to truly speak to our hearts, whether we are male or female, to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, no matter what our station in life is. Mothers, you can seek to follow these examples, that's something you can take away from this, that you can desire that these virtues be formed in you. Those of us that have had such godly mothers, we can thank God for the wonderful gift of such a mother. But all of us, as we'll find out, we can understand that we have a spiritual mother, the grace of God. And no matter what your upbringing was or your home life, and sadly in our society there are so many sad stories, but as a child of God, we have a wondrous story to tell. We have a wondrous song to sing because we know that our Father is Almighty God, and His grace has brought us forth to be His own. Last year, some of you may remember that we looked at the example of Eve, and we didn't get any further than that example. And in looking at her example and what God admired in her and what we should admire in her was her dependence on the grace of God. And ladies, if you don't start there, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be successful. If you don't learn to understand, all of us, but as mothers, you must learn to throw yourself fully upon the grace of God. We saw last year that Eve was the ideal woman. She wasn't dumb. She wasn't easily manipulated, as some like to point to the first woman. But I believe that she was God's ideal woman. That's how He created her. She was beautiful, intelligent, industrious, and yet she miserably failed when she relied on her own abilities and her own strength and her own thinking. She miserably failed. And you will too. All of us will. And her dependents were negatively impacted. You and I were negatively impacted because of her failures. And as we considered that, we asked ourselves, how could she possibly go on and fulfill the role that God had called her to be the mother of all life? to be the mother of all life. How could she possibly even go on? It's because she believed the promise of God's grace. That God's plan and purpose for her and for her race wasn't going to be ultimately determined by her abilities or her failures, but by the grace of God and faith and trust in the grace of God. So ladies, as you contemplate the responsibilities of motherhood, and they are great and they are enormous, throw yourself on the grace of God. Don't depend on your natural abilities or intelligence or beauty or whatever else you may be tempted to trust. Trust the promises of God's grace, and you'll find that He'll give you strength for each day. A successful mother, a woman who is going to be praised by God for eternity, is not one who never fails. So ladies, ladies wrestle with this as mothers, as wives. How can I go on? The woman, the mother that's going to be praised by God is not one that's never failed, but it's one who has learned to fear the Lord and to trust Him. And when there is failure, to acknowledge it and to return and to call upon Him and His grace to restore you and to strengthen you to go on from that point. That's the kind of woman that God admires and that He will praise and reward for eternity. Let's go on to another example that's found in the mother of Moses. Her name was Jochebed. Kind of a not that pretty of a name in our modern society. But it is a glorious name because it means Jehovah is glorious. Now we're not going to turn, most of you know the story of Moses, so I'm just going to refer to a few of the events there. Of the things, the virtues that we find in her and in that scriptural account of Moses and his mother, and as well as his father. But I want us to stop and think for just a moment the influence that Moses has had on the course of history. Now, it's more than, if you'll stop and think about it, Moses and the account of his life goes beyond just Sunday school lessons and flannel graphs. Moses has had a lasting impact on the history of humanity even to this day. His contributions to the human race just concerning the fundamental revelations of man's creator. Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible. Can you imagine what it would be like not to have those books? Not to have those basic revelations of who our creator is? But beyond that, beyond even the religious implications of that, Moses has had an impact on the formation of modern society and the rule of law. The rule of law that governs most modern societies today, including our own, has as its cornerstone the law of Moses. Did you realize that? That's a pretty big impact. The Ten Commandments, a cornerstone to modern society and the rule of law. That's a pretty big impact that one man has had and that has lasted so long. How different our lives would be without the influence of Moses. Now I want you to stop and think. If it wasn't for Moses' mother, we wouldn't have all of those benefits, would we? If it wasn't for what she did for her son, none of those blessings would be ours today. Mothers, you need to remember, when your life seems to be mundane, and often it is, mundane, routine, and insignificant, you need to remember that your life matters. Jochebed's life mattered. I doubt that very few outside of Bible students even know her name. Most people know Moses' name. Most people don't know her name. But she had an impact for eternity on the lives of individuals. And it's because she understood that her role was important. Her life mattered. Ladies, your life matters. You have the potential to influence your children and others for eternity's sake, not just for this moment. And this is where we are tempted, all of us in our stations, whether we're mothers, fathers, or whatever our station in life. We are tempted to discouragement when we're only focusing on this particular moment that seems so insignificant and worthless. But we need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And it's day in and day out. And Moses' mother understood that. I want to look at two prominent virtues in Jochebed's life that I want us to consider this morning. The first one is that she valued the life of her child and preserved it at great risk and inconvenience to herself. The second thing we'll look at is that she taught Moses the fear of Jehovah. These two things, because she was faithful to do these important things that God expected of her, that God demanded of her, and that she trusted God's grace to enable her to be successful in, it's because of these virtues that we have many of the blessings that we talked about earlier, and that those will have eternal rewards. Let's go to Hebrews 11:23, where we have the Holy Spirit's comment on the account of Moses' parents preserving the life of their child, Moses. She valued the life of her child and preserved it at great risk and inconvenience to herself. Pharaoh had given an order to the midwives of the Jewish women. Any boy, baby that is born immediately at birth, you kill it. And he justified it by saying it was a matter of national security. Any baby that's killed, or any baby that's born, you kill immediately. Well, the Jewish midwives feared the Lord. They didn't do it. They made up an excuse to give to the king why, well, they're just healthy women and they give birth before we get there. Nothing we can do about it. So then he sent his soldiers out and said, you kill every male Jewish boy. Just go out and kill him. And it's right, it's just, it's moral, because it's a matter of national security. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, notice what it says here. We have to understand what it means to live by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, I'm sure, like all parents, that Moses' parents thought their child was physically beautiful, even though when they're first born, they're not all that cute. But they get there pretty cute. They get there pretty quick. But they saw in Moses something more than that. They understood, and whether they understood to what length, I don't know. But they knew this at least. God has a plan for Moses. So by faith, they hid him. God had given Jochebed a gift. She understood that life came from God and it was to be valued. She knew that God was going to do something for and through this young man. And so at great inconvenience to herself, to the very threat of her own life, she preserved this child's life. One of the greatest tragedies of our society today is the evil of abortion, the killing of unborn children for convenience sake. Our government tells us that it's justified by the right of women to choose what they want to do with their bodies. But that explanation no more makes that a moral and right choice than to say it's a matter of national security. All life is a gift from God, and it is to be valued and to preserved and protected within the confines of the revealed will of God. But I want you to notice something, that Moses' parents did not preserve his life through political action or because of political pressure, but by faith they hid Moses. And this is the only remedy to sin, the sin of abortion or any other sin, which are only growing more rampant and more accepted in our society. And I don't want to talk about them, but everybody else is. And saints, God's people are being deceived and accepting the definitions and the explanations of the world. And saints, I want God's people to at least hear the word of God, because by the hearing of the word of God comes faith. But the only real remedy to the sin of abortion or any sin is a heart that is surrendered to the will of God, like Moses' parents. That kind of heart is only possible through the miracle of being made new through faith in Jesus Christ. This is why our message of salvation is so important in this dark age in which we live. People need a new heart. They can't have faith until they have been received the invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and been born again. You can't legislate regeneration. It comes from hearing and believing the proclamation of the gospel. But as I said, one of the sad things besides our society growing darker and darker and accepting these sins as acceptable and reasonable, many Christian women have simply accepted society's values and have deceived themselves into thinking that abortions of convenience are acceptable and moral. And I hope that none of our young women from this meeting find themselves in a situation where they're even tempted to have to think about this sin. But I've been preaching long enough to know that there probably will be. But if you are tempted, by faith you need to believe that life comes from God, that it is a gift from Him that is to be valued and protected and preserved, and that God has a plan for that life. I'm glad that my own wife did not listen to the advice of her doctor, who told her she needed to abort our daughter Rose because Christy had some health issues and it could kill Christy. At great risk to herself and at the cost of years of inconvenience to herself in caring for Rose's many, many health needs, she by faith knew God had a plan. And as she was faithful to obey and to respond in faith to the temptation, we witness the faithfulness of God to do a work in and through our daughter Rose. But those choices were made by faith. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Saints, we need to know the will of God and we need to believe it. Our guide, our compass, our foundation, our anchor, our strength in life is the Word of God. We have no other direction. We have no other philosophy of life. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, mothers, if you will remember that when your children are pulling each other's arms off, it'll give you perspective to handle all the challenges of motherhood. That little angel who's not acting like an angel is a gift from God. You have a responsibility. The second virtue that we find in Moses' parents, after risking their own life to save little Moses, because they knew it was the will of God. Most of you know the story that they hid him in the basket in the bulrushes. Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe as she normally did, found little Moses, fell in love with him, and said, I'm going to keep him. But I need somebody, I need a nursemaid, I need somebody who will take care of him for a while because, well, I'm a princess and I don't have time to change diapers. So Moses' sister, Miriam, was there. You know anybody? Yeah, I do. Was given back to his mother. And in that time, Hebrews 11, let's go to Hebrews 11 verses 24 to 27. Moses' mother had him in the house only for a few short years. You think you've got a short time with your kids? Don't waste it. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called. This is Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, where do you suppose that Moses learned about the people of God and the promise of a Christ that was to come? Do you think he learned that in Pharaoh's university? It was in those few short years that he spent with Jacobin, raising him as a nursemaid, that Moses learned about Jehovah and about the promise of a Savior that would come through the people of Israel. Now, Moses went on to be educated with all of the wisdom of Egypt, and Egypt at the time was renowned for its wisdom and its philosophy and its science. It was the leading empire in those things at the time. He learned all of that. He had the best education that the world had to offer. But he learned to fear the Lord on the knees of his mother, who was a despised, insignificant slave. I want you to stop and think about that. All of the influence that we talked about Moses having on the human race, was that the result of his Egyptian education? Is that why we are so blessed by Moses' endeavors? No. He changed, he impacted the world. He impacted the history of the human race by what he learned on his mother's knees. So mothers, I'll challenge you with this. Your greatest charge from the Word of God is raising your children in the fear of the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with the best education you can afford. I think it's a good idea. Nothing wrong with involvement in athletics or entertainment. Some natural benefits to that, and just plain the physical coordination and things that are involved has its place. Nothing wrong with that at all. But none of those things are your primary responsibility to your children or to your Heavenly Father. If you provide nothing else for your children but an education in the sound doctrine of the Word of God, you have been successful in motherhood. That's how important this is. And the opposite is true. If you provide the best education and they're involved in everything and they're busy in everything at the expense of giving them an understanding of the revealed will of God, you have miserably failed your children. I know those are strong words, but it is the Word of God. Your primary responsibility. 2 Timothy 1. Timothy had such influences. He was fortunate enough to have two generations of such influence. This is why I say it is. I have, over the years, many people grow up, get married, have families, and they want to leave because they don't want that church that they grew up to be. They want to have their own family church. And many times they leave behind godly relatives and grandparents. But saints, if God gives you the opportunity, and not all have the opportunity, but if God gives the opportunity to have several generations of godly influence, saints, that's not a detriment. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. 2 Timothy 1:3-5. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, Paul writing Timothy, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you. Jump back to the Old Testament, Psalm 145. The first four verses of Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Mothers, fathers, this is your primary responsibility. As I read that, verse 2 there, every day I will bless you. Mothers, do your children hear you bless the Lord every day? Do they see you bless the Lord every day? This is how we pass our faith. Oh, we pass the knowledge of faith. Each individual has to receive and exercise their own faith. We understand that. But they need to see the reality of it in our lives every day. Another example is found in the prophet Samuel's mother, Hannah. Hannah also understood that her son was certainly a gift from God. He was a miracle from God, those who know the story. However, she understood something else that all mothers need to understand. And that is this, that the children that God gives you are not your own. Hannah understood that early on. She prayed to have a child. God miraculously gave her children. Her first son, Samuel, she quite literally gave him over to the work of the Lord. delivered him to the temple. Now, some of the kids here, I think, have been threatened to come live with Brother Doug, if they didn't mind. And I think I would take any of them that were dropped off at the doorstep. But she quite literally dropped him off. The children that God gives you, they're not your own. They belong to him. You are only given charge over them for a little while. Hannah had Samuel only for a very few short years and then gave him over to the Lord. As Paul wrote the Corinthians, he said that we are stewards, and it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. Mothers, you're stewards over your children. You're going to be held accountable for how you raised them. And again, I understand that's a big, wow, that's a big weight. But remember Eve's example. By the grace of God, you can be what God wants you to be. The children are not yours, and they never were. That'll give you, again, perspective in raising them. Because you'll be quick to ask him for wisdom how to raise his kids. You'll be quick to call upon him when they miserably fail to say, you know, Lord, what do I need to do to point your children in the right direction? You'll cry out for help. We need to be like Hannah, ladies. Know that they're not yours. The last example I want to look at is one that's kind of difficult because it's so unique. And yet I do believe that there are virtues here that are common that God looks for in all of his women that fear him. And that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She possessed all the virtues we've already considered. You stop and think about it. At risk of her own life, she preserved the life of her child. At great inconvenience to herself, she certainly knew that her child was a special gift from God. Risked her life to bring him into this world. And then taught him the fear of the Lord. They were always being taught the Old Testament scriptures, celebrating the feast when they were to be celebrated. She understood that Jesus wasn't her own. She understood all those virtues that we saw in these other ladies. She understood in every sense of the word that this was God's son, not hers. Now clearly this relationship is unique, ladies, and there are things that will never ever be duplicated or shared with any other mother or child. But I do believe that they did go through some things and experience some things. There are things that are common to every mother and child. And the final virtue that I want us to consider, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 2, is not only as you're raising the children do you realize they're not yours to begin with, but every mother must come to a time in their life when they realize that they have to give their children over, their adult children over, to do the will of God. Mary had to do that. Try to put yourself in her place, ladies, if it's at all possible to have an inkling. I believe this was something that Mary had to progressively learn, like all parents do, including mothers. And it is this virtue of letting your children go to do the will of God as an adult child. Luke 2, 42 to 50. Now remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Son of God, the incarnate one. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Did you get that? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. This is why I say this virtue Mary had to progressively learn. And of course, with the Son of God at this early age, manifesting the understanding of his calling, quite unique. But nonetheless, it served as a reminder to Mary that the day was coming when Jesus would no longer be accountable directly to her. Now, she was accountable in raising him. She was a steward. She was an administrator of his life, his young life. But this incident reminded her there's coming a day when he's going to be accountable to the Lord and the Lord alone. When the time came for her to let him go to do the will of God, she was made to understand that her role as protector, director, teacher had come to an end, and that her role was now as a fellow worshiper and follower of God. And for Mary, that included watching her son die a cruel death on the cross. Again, saints, I understand there's some uniqueness here that'll never be duplicated. But do you see how these, they're also principles that every mother needs to learn? Mark chapter 3. Here again was a clear statement of her new role. Jesus was not being disrespectful, not earlier when he was 12, not now in this passage. He wasn't being disrespectful. This was the will of God. Mary had been so, she is the epitome of a successful mother, of the virtues of motherhood. But now she was coming into a new phase. In verse 31 of Mark 3, then his brothers and his mother came. And standing outside, they went to him calling. Clearly, there was some family emergency, family need, something to do with the family. And a multitude was sitting around him, Jesus. And they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those that sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Now what if that had been you outside that door? And that was your son, your daughter, saying that to you. It's hard, isn't it? Again, it's impossible apart from dependence on the grace of God. It's impossible to go through these drastic stages of life that all of us go through. We cannot go through them successfully and honor the Lord apart from a dependence on his grace. But I do believe that Mary learned the difficult lesson, how to transition from her role as a protector and guide and teacher to simply be a fellow worshiper and follower of God. We know the story of the wedding in Canaan. Mary asked Jesus to do something about the fact that the wine had run out. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It wasn't the Father's will for him to publicly and openly demonstrate his power. He wasn't being disrespectful to her, but then rather than pouting, Mary turned to the servants and said, whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. Not whatever I say. We must learn to always allow our adult children to learn to seek and find and obey the will of God for themselves. Now the reality is this, unlike Jesus, sadly many adult children are going to make all the wrong choices. And mothers, fall on the grace of God again. When you have faithfully done what God has called you to do, they belong to him. They're not yours, never were. You continue to cry out to them, for them, to the Lord. But we must, by faith, even in those difficult times, turn them over to God. Faith, obedience, the fear of the Lord are the threads that bind all of these biblical virtues together. Faith, obedience, the fear of the Lord. Those of us that have had privileges of such godly women, we can thank God for such gifts. Those that haven't, again, rejoice in the fact that your spiritual mother is grace. And you can honor your mother. You can honor your father. No matter what your natural heritage is, it doesn't matter. We put too much emphasis on the natural heritage. It is important. It's part of God's blessing. It's part of God's plan and purpose. But saints, as Jesus stated, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who's my father? It's those who do the will of God. That's what binds us together. And if we will remember this, we can bring honor to the grace of God. Let's close with two passages in Proverbs 6 and 20. Proverbs 6:20. Again, no matter what your mother-child relationship is or was in the natural, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. As a child of God, your father is the Almighty God. Grace brought you forth. Jump over to Proverbs 23 and verse 22 through 26. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. By the power and the privilege of the new birth, each of us have the grace of God as our mother and God as our father. We can grow up to be sons and daughters that cause the heart of our Heavenly Father to be glad. Think about that. It's just the one who created everything from nothing, and I can thrill his heart. I can honor the grace of God. I don't honor the grace of God by continuing in sin and carnality like some people teach and live. But I can honor grace by allowing it to teach me to deny ungodliness and to live righteously and soberly in this evil world in which we live. I can honor grace. Each of us, male or female, we have this privilege and this opportunity. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to dismiss in a word of prayer, but these altars are open if you want to come and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit of God that has revealed these things to us and that is here in our midst this morning. And Lord, you know the condition of each heart, not only of the mothers, but of each one that's here. You know where we stand with you. And Lord, I ask you that by the Spirit of God, you would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray for those that have been discouraged because of many failures in their life. Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged this morning to know that you have not cast them out, that you have not given up on them, that you love them and you are calling them back to stand in faith and obedience. Lord, I pray that you would give them a fresh revelation of the grace of God that forgives and restores and strengthens and teaches and changes us. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge those that have neglected the ways of their father and of their mother. Speaking, of course, of our spiritual mother and father. Lord, I pray that you would cause them to truly surrender their heart to you and to cause them to understand there's nothing in life that is more important than doing the will of God. Lord, make that real in our hearts, I pray. And may you truly cause us to honor those who are worthy of honor, that we would acknowledge those who fear the Lord and are examples of godliness to us and for us. And we thank you for such gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.